Autumn of the year of lamentation was drawing on before Morwen came to this resolve, and then she was in haste, for the time of journeying was short, but she dreaded that Turin would be taken if she waited over winter. Easterlings were prowling round the garth and spying on the house. Therefore she said suddenly to Turin, "Your father does not come, so you must go, and soon. It is as he would wish."
"Go?" cried Turin. "Whither shall we go? Over the mountains?"
"Yes," said Morwen. "Over the mountains, away south. South, that way some hope may lie. But I did not say we, my son. You must go, but I must stay."
"I cannot go alone," said Turin. "I will not leave you. Why should we not go together?"
"I cannot go," said Morwen, "but you will not go alone. I shall send Gethron with you, and Grithnir too, perhaps."
"Will you not send Labadal?"
said Turin. "No, for Sador is lame," said Morwen, "and it will be a hard road. And since you are my son, and the days are grim, I will not speak softly. You may die on that road. The year is getting late, but if you stay, you will come to a worse end, to be a thrall. If you wish to be a man, when you come to a man's age, you will do as I bid, bravely."
"But I shall leave you only with Sador and blind Ragnir and the old women," said Turin. "Did not my father say that I am the heir of Hador? The heir should stay in Hador's house to defend it. How I wish that I still had my knife."
"The heir should stay, but he cannot," said Morwen. "But he may return one day. Now take heart. I will follow you if things grow worse, if I can."
"But how will you find me, lost in the wild?"
said Turin, and suddenly his heart failed him, and he wept openly. "If you wail, other things will find you first," said Morwen. "But I know whither you are going, and if you come there, and if you remain there, there I will find you, if I can. For I am sending you to King Thingol in Doriath. Would you not rather be a king's guest than a thrall?"
"I do not know," said Turin. "I do not know what a thrall is."
"I am sending you away, sir, but you need not learn it," Morwen answered. Then she set Turin before her and looked into his eyes, as if she were trying to read some riddle there. "It is hard, Turin, my son," she said at length. "Not hard for you only. It is heavy on me in evil days to judge what is best to do. But I do as I think right. For why else should I part with the thing most dear that is left to me?"
They spoke no more of this together, and Turin was grieved and bewildered. In the morning he went to find Sador, who had been hewing sticks for firing, of which they had little, but they dared not stray out in the woods. And now he leant on his crutch and looked at the great chair of Hurin, which had been thrust unfinished in a corner. "It must go," he said, "for only bare needs can be served in these days."
"Do not break it yet," said Turin. "Maybe he will come home, and then it will please him to see what you have done for him while he was away."
"False hopes are more dangerous than fears," said Sador, "and they will not keep us warm this winter."
He fingered the carving on the chair and sighed.
"I wasted my time," he said, "though the hours seemed pleasant. But all such things are short-lived, and the joy in the making is their only true end, I guess. And now I might as well give you back your gift,